All over Britain, people are protesting at the BBC's refusal, along with Sky, to broadcast the Disasters Emergency Committee appeal. But the convoy leaving London on the 14th of February, St. Valentine's Day, is gathering pace, supported by the Stop the War Coalition, the Anglo-Arab Organisation, and many, many others, including the Fire Brigade Union, who are providing not one, but two, maybe even three fire engines, six ambulances, maybe eight ambulances, 50 trucks, maybe 100 trucks, who knows, by the time we leave. It's going to be quite a show, and Press TV will be with us every step of the way through France, Spain, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, all the way to Rafah, all the way to Palestine. Send a Valentine to Palestine, that's what we say. Now, last week I invited you to leave recorded messages, and we've chosen three of the most interesting ones. Listen to this.
Oh, my name is Lord Kilclooney. From London, UK. I want to send a message to George Galloway to congratulate him on the stand he is taking and to say that there will be no settlement in the Middle East until the United States ceases to be influenced by the Jewish lobby and becomes even-handed between Israelis and Arabs. What we need is a separate Palestinian state, a separate Israeli state, in which there are no Israeli settlements in the West Bank, no Israeli occupation of the West Bank or in Gaza, and an international force along the border between Palestine and Israel to guarantee the security of Israel as well as Palestine. I was former chairman of the Middle East Committee in the Council of Europe in Strasbourg, and I have no doubt that at the moment the Israelis are being cruel and totally illegal in their behaviour.
Well, that's a very powerful message from a very powerful man, Lord Kilclooney, formerly John Taylor, who was a parliamentary colleague of mine for many years and with whom I travelled in the Middle East, notably to Syria and elsewhere, as he's just explained, a former member of the Council of Europe and chairman of the Middle East Committee there. Very powerful words indeed from one of the members of the House of Lords, who still has some credibility left after some of the scandals of recent days. Only one word I would quibble with, and that's the word Jewish in the words Jewish lobby. As I've explained here many times before, the Israel lobby, the Zionist lobby in the United States is overwhelmingly not Jewish. It's overwhelmingly Christian, as a matter of fact, fundamentalist Christians and the neocon right. They are the people, and there are many Jews on our side of the argument. Whether or not we need two states in that small territory is, of course, a matter for the people living there and their organizations in negotiation. I prefer myself the idea of one democratic and secular state from the river to the sea, where Jews, Muslims and Christians could live together as equal citizens under the law. But if there must be a partition, as John Taylor, as Lord Kilclooney says, it has to be a fair partition. Let's hear another of the recorded messages.
My name is Karen. I'm an American living in the UK. And like everyone else, I'm absolutely appalled at what I've been seeing, but I've got to congratulate Press TV for broadcasting President Ahmadinejad's speech today. The rest of the world's press is not allowing us to see what this man has to say. Also for providing full coverage of the President of the General Assembly as they held their debate, again, not broadcast on the BBC or the CNN or any of the major networks. I want to ask Mr. Galloway what he thinks of Barack Obama's appointment of the dual passport holder, Rahm Emanuel, and what he thinks that this person might do to progress the situation in Israel, considering his ties with his father, with the State of Israel. Thank you very much. Fascinating program and a television station. I did not know that this was broadcast in the United States. Talking to my friends and family where they live, they're not able to access Press TV. Also, I would like to know why Hamas is not showing any of their casualties or military casualties on air. We've seen the civilian horrors, but what is going on with the combatants on the ground? Very little seems to be coming from that area. Again, thank you very much. And also, I'd like to see Press TV show us a little bit more about what life in Iran is like. We know very little about this country in the West. Okay, thank you very much, and fantastic work, Mr. Galloway. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much indeed. I wouldn't fixate on Rahm Emanuel. We mustn't visit the sins of fathers upon their sons. And he's not in that job because of any dual passport that he holds, but because he's a part of the Illinois Democratic Party machine, and Barack Obama trusts him to guard his gate. And his job is to ensure that the right people meet the president and that they leave on time. So he's not making policy in the Middle East. A much more interesting appointment is Obama's appointment of Senator George Mitchell, a very experienced negotiator in conflict situations, a man who worked wonders in the north of Ireland, as Lord Kilclooney and others on the nationalist side would be quick, I think, to acknowledge. I personally think that's a very good appointment. But Press TV is definitely on a roll. Thank you very much indeed for that. Let's take the third of three of last week's voicemails. Go ahead.
My name is Steve from Peterborough in England. The problem is nothing to do with America or Israel. The problem is these Arabs. They are all split each other. They're fighting each other, and they're trying to kill each other. So West America and Israel just make the most of it. Thank you.
Well, short and sweet. There's much in what you say, caller, but don't forget that the people who did the murdering and the massacring were the Israelis, not the Arabs, and the people who gave them the weapons with which to murder and massacre were the United States of America. Certainly, the pitiful state of politics and political systems in the Arab world hasn't helped the Palestinians or anyone else. Thanks. That's the three recorded messages. Let's take a live one. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello.
Hello, I'm Robert, calling from Roscommon in Ireland.
Hello, Robert.
Yes, well, we understand here with our own colonial history what colonial enterprises are about, and I'm wondering why lately it seems to be orthodox to just drop the right of return from all negotiations or talks or pre-negotiation talks, because it's always been one of the main Palestinian demands, and even if it would take a decade-long midterm truce to achieve something like this, it might be the last hope for many elderly people who are currently languishing in refugee camps up and down the coast of the Mediterranean.
Well, Robert, that's a very powerful point, and that's what I meant when I said if there is to be a partition, it has to be a just one. And part of that just settlement has to be the right of return of the Palestinian refugees to their land and to their homes, or if they accept suitable compensation for the long and bitter exile which they have suffered. And no Palestinian-Israeli settlement that didn't include these refugees, hundreds of thousands of them, indeed millions of them now, if you count the diaspora as a whole, would be acceptable to the Palestinian people. It would merely move the conflict on another stage. Thanks, Robert, from the north of Ireland for that. Let's go to the comment wall, take our first email of the evening. And this one comes from the Czech Republic, Magyar Ksaba. Why are the women on your shows all in headscarves? Are you a religious freak show? No room for non-Muslims on your channel? Well, that's an absolutely fatuous point. There are many non-Muslims, including Jews, I may say, on this TV station. So that's completely ridiculous. Women wear headscarves on this show because that's the decision that they have made. I'm not wearing a headscarf, and you're watching this, and I hope you're learning something. If you keep watching long enough, you might learn more about Islam. Let's go to the comment wall, take an SMS this time, and it's from the United Kingdom, Imdad. BBC always every year have children in need. Now there's a crisis in Gaza. Children in emergency need the BBC. The refusal to screen the appeal makes me wonder, do they really care about children? Anyway, who needs them when we get Tony Benn advertising the DEC appeal on the BBC? Mr. Benn did a magnificent job, and you can get it on YouTube. It's worth watching over and over again. Yes, children in need, the BBC, Palestinian children need not apply. not so much Red Nose Day as Red Face Day, as I heard a wonderful actress say up in Edinburgh last evening at a protest we had outside the BBC. And there are protests everywhere in Britain against the BBC. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller, hello, where are you calling from?
Hello, Galloway, this is Jakob from Blackburn.
Very nice to hear from you, sir.
All right. So my question is, Galloway, is what is called Barack Obama and what is called a Western government asking about Israel's security. My question is, what about the Palestine security? There are 12,000 prisoners held by the Israeli in the Israeli jails. Their occupation is over there. They're not thinking about that one first. And why is what is called an Israeli settler is grabbing the Palestinian people's land?
Well, you're absolutely right. And amongst the political prisoners are dozens of elected members of parliament, including the Speaker of the parliament. And nobody ever raises that point. The principal leader, I believe, of the nationalist forces in Palestine, as opposed to the Islamist forces, Marwan Barghouti, is unjustly incarcerated in Israel for tens of years when he should be at the negotiating table. And if he were there, then we wouldn't have, I believe, the rift between the Islamic and nationalist forces in Palestine, and everyone would be much better off. Yes, Israel's security is guaranteed by the United States and by the fact that it's a military superpower. But absolutely no one's guaranteeing the security of the Palestinians, as we saw in the last few weeks. There's lots more coming up after this.
I'm George Galloway.
I'll be bringing you a program called Comment. It's the big conversation. It's the great debate. Looking for your telephone calls, your emails, your SMSs. Make sure your email, your SMS, and above all, your telephone call gets through to me. So join me, 9:36 GMT every week. Comment, Press TV, broadcasting live from central London. You'll enjoy the debate, and that's a promise. And that's a promise that we keep trying to live up to. Now, let's go back to the comment wall, take some emails. They're coming in thick and fast from all over the world. Where's this one from? UK, Kenneth Richardson. I think common sense prevailed with the BBC and Sky, as it had to be seen as impartial, as they're responsible to us as the licence payer. We cannot solve the world's ills, and I believe Palestine is sitting on billions of pounds stashed away. I'm starting to get tired of all the trendiest who latch on to a cause like it's a fashion accessory. All I can say, and heed this well, desist from this farce or else. Well, this is the Mr. Richardson who wrote to me last week or the week before saying how he'd been persuaded by our point of view here. And there he is, back to his threats again. That'll have to go to the same place his previous threats went to. Let's go to a telephone call. Let's see where this one's from. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, George.
Yes.
I'm calling from the Republic of Ireland.
You're welcome.
Good evening, George. I'm glad I was listening to you earlier. I'm glad you said the north of Ireland too, to the other caller. There's not many people call it that. I was actually wondering, has Rupert Murdoch being brought up a Jew have anything to do with Sky TV not broadcasting the Gaza appeal? And secondly, if you have a two-state solution to the problem over there, do you honestly think that Israel would recognize the new Palestine borders?
Well, first of all, Rupert Murdoch is not a Jew. Rupert Murdoch is a Roman Catholic, and indeed paid for the building of the largest cathedral on the west coast of the United States. He's a papal knight, knighted by the previous pope. So whatever the reasons for Sky's decision, which are much more to do with its slavish support for American and European imperial adventures in the what we call the Third World and in the Middle East than anything to do with ethnicity or religion. Trust me, Rupert Murdoch worships mammon. He worships the dollar or even the Chinese currency if it suited him. He's not interested in the profits, peace be upon them. He's interested in the profits and how to get a piece of them. Well, as I say, I prefer to have a single state from the river to the sea. But if there is to be a division, it has to be a just one. And as Lord Kilcluny pointed out, it has to be one that's policed and guaranteed by the international powers. Let's go back to the comment wall, see what we've got in the way of SMSs. Jody in the UK, 37,300 people signed a petition against UK arms sales to Israel. 2,700 petitions needed by 11 p.m. tonight. Vote, pass on, and petitions. That's number10.gov.uk/arms-embargo. That's number10.gov.uk/arms-embargo. That's a very impressive hall of people, no doubt, who have signed that petition. It won't force the government to suspend arms sales, but I do think we need to keep the pressure up on this issue. I think the government is very vulnerable on it. Let's go back to the telephone lines. Take another call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, George. It's Maysoon from Surrey.
Hello, Maysoon. Welcome.
Hello. Just a couple of things. One is, you know, you're going on this Valentine trip.
Yes.
Is there any possibility of you taking over some of the humanitarian aid that was refused on the Iranian ship?
Well, I don't know where that aid is now. Is it in Iran or where?
It's stationed in Lebanon now.
Well, if they can get it to Egypt to meet us, I'm sure we'll try to find space on the convoy for it.
Yeah, but Egypt refused it. It refused the ship entry, so it had to divert to the Lebanon. But I was just wondering whether you could possibly take some of the humanitarian aid.
Well, if you're in touch with them, Maysoon, if you could get them somehow to rendezvous with the convoy as it makes its way across North Africa, we'd be happy if we've got space. Of course, all the trucks might be full, so I can't guarantee it. But if they were able to get a truck or two to join our convoy, they'd be more than welcome. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
Maysoon in Surrey, we're looking for your telephone calls, your emails and your SMSs, one of which is up on the board now. Let's go to it. On the comment wall, it's from Palestine. Abbas is no longer the Palestine president. Why does Obama and others insist on talking to him? They should talk to the Hamas government. Hurry up, lifting the siege on Gaza, because Arab leaders are in deep sleep. Well, it's certainly true that the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas's term has run out. I don't know what emergency powers he's currently exercising as president now. The truth is, there's two power in Palestine. There's no point in wishing President Abbas away. You can't wish away the Fatah movement that he represents and indeed leads. Palestine cannot be liberated by Hamas alone, but it cannot be liberated without Hamas. And what we urgently and desperately need is unity. So I try to keep out of the sniping between the two parties to this conflict because, well, I've given the best years of my life to this conflict and I don't want to see it weakened by disunity and division. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
It's Yamin, I'm calling from Chelsea.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I just want to congratulate you for your show.
Thanks.
It's absolutely brilliant. I love Yvonne Ridley and you, of course. I'm very happy for the demonstrations that you lot have been supporting us on and encouraging us young British Muslims to do. And just want to say thank you very much for the show and keep it up, please. It's great. I'm very horrified about what happened in Gaza. And I'm really glad that you're doing the Valentine's Palestine. I've spread the word to so many people, and I'm trying my best to collect aid, clothes, and all kinds of stuff to help the people in Gaza, because now they need our help more than anywhere else. And the fact that, the demonstrations, we must not forget Gaza. We must always keep it in the media, keep it in the paper, because people don't recognize that just because it's happened once, this has been going on for such a long time, but people, because it's not in the media as much, people don't recognize that it's been going on for a long time. And even like the killing and the cutting off of the, as they say, the closed prison that the Palestinians are living in, that we should definitely keep it in the media. And please keep us up to date with any demonstrations that are happening or any more that we can actually do to help.
Thanks, Yamin. I appreciate that very much. Go to our website, say this to you and everyone, vivapalestina.org, vivapalestina.org, and you can find out how you can help the convoy. The very least you can do is send a Valentine to Palestine with a check inside it, made payable to Lifeline for Gaza. Put your name and address in it. Put your picture of you and your family in it We'll deliver the Valentine to Palestine, and we'll deliver the money from the check that you put inside it to the authorities who are rebuilding Gaza and feeding and housing the people when we get there. Let's go back to the comment wall. Take an email this time, and it's from the United Kingdom. Mariam, I'm a student at school. As a sign of solidarity with my brothers and sisters in Palestine, I wear a Palestinian scarf, but all my friends ask me why and tell me that it isn't my problem. After all, it's all the way away in the Middle East. How do I explain to them what's happening, why it's important for us to show our support? Is it wise to bring up past problems? Well, Britain is the original author of the Palestinian tragedy, as I've explained here many times, with the Balfour promise on behalf of one people to a second people of the land of a third people. So we have a historic responsibility, but we have a current, clear and present responsibility, because the instability and danger to all of us that's created by this suppurating sore of a problem right at the heart of the crisis between East and West is a danger to all of us. It creates instability, it creates hatred, it creates all sorts of rage and anger, and we have to solve it. There's no point in employing new laws to ban clerics and so on. We need to deal with the problem at the heart. Let's take a quick telephone call if we've got time. If not, we'll go to an SMS just before the break. And this one's from Jackie Morris in Greece. Could you please tell me why the news stations are reporting on the Gaza tunnels being reopened, knowing that obviously Israel would bomb them? Thanks, Jackie. Israel was bombing Gaza again yesterday. And Gordon Brown has sent the British Royal Navy to patrol the Gaza Strip, not to break the siege, not to implement the United Nations Security Council resolutions, which have gone unimplemented for 40 years, but to help Israel. I'll be back after the news with the second half of Comment. It's George Galloway. Don't miss it. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, each and every week at this time, broadcasting from central London, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But you have to join in. We need your SMS, we need your email, above all, we need your telephone calls. And you can leave a voicemail, and the most interesting of the voicemails we play out each week, as we did earlier in the show. That number is 0044-203-070-2522. That's 0044-203-070-2522. Now, we start the second half of the show each week with some of the best of the political cartoons that have captured the imagination of our editorial staff, and we put them up here on the comment wall. They're all from the British press this week, and very good they are too. Let's see the first of those from The Independent. This is anti-BBC for those overseas. Let me explain that the BBC is such a revered national institution, it's known as everyone's auntie. And this is a depiction of an auntie going mad, walking past the lame and the hungry, kicking the begging bowl away, and the rubble of Gaza in the background, and the public aghast, asking what's come over the BBC. She'll have to snap out of it, they're saying. Very, very powerful. This one, again from The Independent, same cartoonist. This is the world going off the cliff into perdition and ruin at Davos, where the rich and powerful are lecturing the rest of us on how we need to tighten our belts. And the depiction here, I kept telling him he not to go off-piste. Off-piste, a skiing term for going off the beaten track. And look what happens when you do. When you go off the rails, you head off the end of a cliff. This one from Steve Bell, the great cartoonist in The Guardian. This is Gaza as a desert of rubble and ash and misery and the vapor trails of Israeli aircraft. Arabs need to die, and Gaza, here we are with the Israeli flags depicted against the sky, very powerful, from the very best of the cartoonists, Steve Bell. Okay, don't forget, we need your calls, we need your emails, but we need your SMSs too, and we've got one here. Let's take it on the comment wall. It's from Tunisia, where I shall be with the convoy very soon. Murad, the Arab states are divided. What a scoop from Amr Moussa. Between two Arab summits, 24 days of war crimes. Isn't it time for him to quit the Arab League to move from Cairo? How do you explain the silence of Russia, who yet claims its comeback? P.S. Mr. Moussa's masquerade today in Davos. I don't actually agree with that, Murad. I admire Amr Moussa. It's not his fault that the Arab League is frequently paralyzed. He's merely the employee of the Arab League and a very skillful diplomat and a very skillful representative. And it's just a great pity that his arm is not strengthened. The Arab League miserably failed, but you mustn't blame that on the Secretary General. OK, we need your emails, we need your telephone calls, and we've got one of these coming up too. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello.
My name is Farouk from Haringey, North
yes.
London.
Yes.
Hello, George, I've spoken to you before. It's just that, you know, I want to make a point here. There we have the Zionist state always complaining that Hamas actually keeps saying that there's no such state as Israel, don't want to recognize the state of Israel. But here we have Mark Raffa, the spokesperson for the Prime Minister of Israel, saying last Thursday morning on Al Jazeera that there was no such state as the Palestinian state pre-1948. Now, it's no wonder that, you know, whatever resolution, the UN resolution that they have actually kicked to the sideline, seems to suggest that they will never be satisfied with having a Palestinian state next to theirs.
Well, they certainly don't want to pay the price for it. At the Oslo Agreement, of course, they did recognize the need for a Palestinian state, and they pay lip service to it, but they're not ready to pay the price in evacuating settlements, knocking down their apartheid wall, giving up their right to rumble across Palestinian territory as soon as they like, and to kill large numbers of people. It's true there was no state called Palestine before 1948, but there was a country called Palestine. There was a people called the Palestinians. Their country was wiped off the map, and the people were scattered to the four winds. Israel's problem is that the great majority of people in the world know that now all too well. Thank you very much indeed for your call. Let's take another one. Yes, hello, caller, where are you?
Hello, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm Donna from Aberdeen in Scotland.
Excellent, welcome.
I just like to say that as many Palestinians are in Gaza without electricity and water or even homes, I'd like to ask you to request to the British public, Muslim and non-Muslim, if they would cancel their British TV licence for at least a one-month period as a means of peaceful protest to the BBC's refusal to air the humanitarian appeals.
No, I can't do that because that would be an abuse of my platform here on Press TV. It would get everyone into trouble, and it's not my habit to do that. It's good that Press TV gives me this show, and I don't want to make problems for them. People must complain to the BBC, and they must complain in large numbers. So far, only 12,000 people have complained. 42,000 people complained about the Jonathan Ross Russell Brand affair. And so we've still got some way to go before we've exhausted the complaints mechanism. The BBC has discredited itself as a result of this action, and the British people are very angry about it. But not least of the reasons why I can't agree with you, my friend in Aberdeen, is that the fine for not paying your TV licence is £1,000, and I can't encourage people to run up £1,000 fine. But I understand your anger, of course. Let's go to the comment wall, take an email, and this one is from Ijaz Butt in Kashmir. Israel hasn't achieved anything in Gaza, but they've lost their so-called image. It's the victory of Palestine over the brutality and inhumane actions of Israel backed by America. Well, Ijaz, there's an old Chinese saying that sometimes the enemy struggles mightily to lift a huge stone only to drop it on its own feet. And I certainly think that that's what Israel has done over the last month. Their international position has considerably weakened. The position of the Palestinians in international sympathy has greatly strengthened, and we must move. Whilst the plates have shifted, we must move. That's the reason for the convoy that I'm leading on St. Valentine's Day. Thanks very much indeed. Let's go back to the wall and take an SMS this time. It's from Turkey. Erol Hasan, did you hear the Turkish PM walked off the stage in a debate in Davos this evening? He was unhappy that the Israeli Prime Minister spouted his propaganda for 25 minutes. Then the moderator repeatedly attempted to stop Prime Minister Erdogan from speaking about the Israeli atrocities. It's good that people are starting to speak out against the Israelis. I must say that the Turkish government, along with the Venezuelan government and the Iranian government and the Syrian government, are the only governments who have spoken with clarity during this crisis. And the demonstrations in Turkey were unprecedented in their size, and the statements being made by Erdogan and other ministers in Turkey were exemplary. And I think everyone who supports Palestine should salute the Turkish government for the stand that they have taken on this issue. And walking off the stage in Davos was another good example of what needs to be done. Let's take a telephone call, this time from where? Yes, caller.
Hi, I'm Neelu Chowdhury from London.
Hello, Nina. Welcome.
Right, I wanted to ask you, from the term used, Zionist, what exactly does it mean? The decision of the BBC would suggest that there are Zionists in that organisation, and there must be Zionists embedded deeply in, within the UK and American establishment. And I'm wondering how the public can find out who these people are.
Well, a Zionist simply means someone who supports the going to Palestine of the Jewish diaspora around the world and founding a state there on somebody else's land. The Zionist movement was founded in the latter part of the 19th century, and it was ready to form a state called Israel in many places, in Uganda, in Madagascar, in the Seychelles, in Patagonia, in Latin America. They were ready to form their state in anywhere that they could get their hands on. Then Mr. Balfour, the British minister in 1917, promised them Palestine, and that's how they ended up there. So a Zionist is someone with the political belief in the political system of Zionism. We say it's a racist idea. We say that a Hungarian Jew is a Hungarian and a British Jew is British, and there's no need for them to succumb to racism, which Jewish people have suffered for centuries, by leaving their country of birth and of background for many, many generations, hundreds upon hundreds of years, and go and live in someone else's country. We say that's giving in to anti-Semitism and racism. And so the best thing to do would be for all of us to unite, whether Christian, Muslim, or Jew, to fight racism and sectarianism against all religions and against all people. So don't go looking for Zionists. The majority of powerful people in the world are Zionists. Let's go to the comment wall and take an SMS. This one is from Jakarta in Indonesia. And it says, after the Ethiopian withdrawal and disappearance of the warlords created by Meles Zenawi, how are things going to be in Somalia? Well, Somalia very badly needs some stability, some good governance, and I hope that that will now come, now that the Ethiopian armed occupation has been driven from the country. It's too early to say. There are many, many things that have to be put back together again in Somalia. But watch this space. I feel that the future will be better for Somalia than the recent past has been. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is M. Wilson from Scotland.
You're welcome. Go ahead, sir.
Right, good job, George.
Thanks.
There's one thing I'd like to mention before I get to my point. It was the last quarter, talking about Zionism. It's a better name is Third Templists. They must have the Al-Aqsa Mosque at the end of the day, and they don't want anybody to be in the state to interfere. That's why you said something about Obama last week and you had some hope in him. Obama's job is to destabilize Pakistan. And last night there was a program on your station there, I think it was fine print, and Professor Francis Boyle put it in a nutshell. He's a practical Amnesty International lawyer. He knew the score. Jeff Steinberg, executive intelligence review. Norman Finkelstein, Middle East specialist, said on Russian television that Obama is just a political opportunist. His job is to destabilize and disarm Pakistan.
Well, I think he's got a much bigger job than that, and he was elected by a record number of people in the United States, so there's no point in wishing him away. He's not going anywhere. He'll be the president for 4 years, maybe for 8 years. So we have to engage in debate with him. And the message that he sent to Iran yesterday was an encouraging one. It's a bit late, but it's an encouraging one. And if it's backed by actions, then we will have to see what happens. And if it is backed by actions that are positive, then we'll have reason to be grateful for that about temples. The vast majority of people in Israel don't care a fig about temples. This is about land. It's about settlers stealing someone else's land and deciding that the land had now become theirs, irrespective of the claims of the people they had displaced. Much more coming up after this. I'm George Galloway, and I've argued with some of the most powerful people on the planet. From the US Senate on Capitol Hill, through British Prime Ministers, from Harold Wilson, through Margaret Thatcher, to Gordon Brown and Tony Blair before him. But now, I'd like to argue with you. Here on Press TV, on Comment. You can ask me your question, you can put your point of view. All you have to do is email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Or you can SMS me on 0044 78 00 00 8066. I'll be here every week. You ask the questions, I give the answers. You make the arguments, I make the rebuttals. George Galloway, join me. You'll enjoy the debate, I promise. I told you I keep my promises. Here's another telephone call. Where's this one from? Yes, hello, caller.
Hello, hello. I'm phoning from Queen Mary University, London.
Excellent.
Just to say we're currently holding an occupation in solidarity with the people of Palestine. And basically, I mean, from what we've heard, there are 20 other universities within the UK that are currently in occupation or have been in occupation over the past few months or so. And, yeah, we just wanted to sort of let everyone know what we've been doing, and just sort of, you know, if you can go to our blogspot on Queen Mary Occupation at blogspot.com, then please give us more messages of support. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much. Indeed, students are in uproar around the country, and there's a virtual intifada going on in the north of the country. I spoke at Rochdale on Sunday to 750 people, to Bolton at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. There were more than 1,000 people there. And then at 7:30 on Monday night in Manchester, to something like 600 people. There's an uprising in the country going on, and the student occupations like the one in Queen Mary are a symptom of that. Keep it up, and the best of luck to all the students in occupation of their colleges around the country. Let's go back to the comment wall. Take an email. This one is from Wimbledon in London. Doug Scorgi, how many British MPs are Zionists? David Cameron has openly declared himself as such. Is there a public record of the names of MPs who are members of the Friends of Israel? And do the British public have a right to know? The answer to the second question is yes. You can find out if your Member of Parliament is a member of Conservative, Liberal Democrat or Labour Friends of Israel. And that would be an interesting list for you. But it's not exhaustive, because if, as I've just said, a Zionist is someone who supports the existence of the State of Israel, supports the theory that the Jews around the world had to go and make a state for themselves, an exclusivist Jewish state, as they describe it, well, it follows that the vast majority of parliamentarians in all countries of the West support Zionism. Someone like me, who is ideologically opposed to Zionism, ideologically opposed to the creation of the State of Israel itself, who believes that this is essentially a racist idea, the idea that you can go and colonize someone else's land and drive them out. Well, we're a small minority in the parliaments, but we're an increasing number amongst public opinion. Let's go back to the comment wall, take an SMS. This one is from United Kingdom, Abid Ali. It's a big joke hearing Obama and the rest saying their concern is Israel's safety. They don't bother watching the news for the past 3 weeks. I suppose they did not see the UN being blown to bits by Israel either. Or was it because they thought they were watching a horror movie, courtesy of America, produced by Israel, filmed in Gaza, entitled The Slaughtering of Humanity? Come on, wake up. Hasn't anyone got a heart? Well, you know, they're talking about an inquiry into the war crimes that took place in Gaza. You've only got to look at the back archive of Press TV. There you have, clear, in Technicolor, a United Nations compound being bombed by huge numbers of streams of white phosphorus gas. It's there on television, captured for all to see. Let's take a telephone call. This one is from where? Yes, caller.
How are you doing, George? It's me, Fas, from Manchester. How are you?
Very nice to hear from you. I had a great night in Manchester on Monday.
Fantastic. Too bad I didn't catch up with you. However, listen, the reason why I'm calling, actually, what I don't understand about the definition of democracy in the eyes of the American government and the British government, they always say they're trying to shoot for democracy in the Middle East and the Arab world. It seems to me they're targeting countries such as Iraq because they have an interest in. Why don't they target a country like Jordan? There is no democracy in Jordan, either. And also Egypt. There is also democracy in there and some other countries. They're just leaving them alone. The fact is, as long as you're our friend, you can do what you want. When the day becomes you go opposite our idea, object our views, you become a country who have a dictatorship, and we're going to work on removing you.
Well, an even more crystal clear point than the ones you've made is that the Palestinians did, in a democratic election, choose a government. It was the fairest election ever held in any Arab country. And Hamas won it by a considerable margin. And as soon as they'd won it, the West began to destabilize, subvert, besiege, and ultimately to empower Israel to try to destroy it by military force, irrespective of how many civilian people were killed in the process. So their attitude to democracy is preposterous, and anyone who believes that Western countries are interested in democracy in the Arab world isn't paying attention. Thanks for that call. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an email. This one is from, again, the UK. Abu, would you mind to give some indications about why the US like Israel so much? What are the reasons? Well, because Israel is working for them. It's doing a job for them. Keeping the Arab world divided and weak, the better for the United States to steal their things. That's why the British gave the franchise on Palestine to the Zionists, because they wanted, they said it at the time, a little loyal Ulster in the middle of the Arab world. They wanted a settler state that would act as their agent in the Middle East. And it's been remarkably successful over the last 100 years. The question is, are we going to allow another 100 years like the one that's just passed? Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, I'm phoning from Birmingham. My name is Nisar Khan.
You're welcome.
Hello, George.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say, if Hitler killed 6 million Jews, who are European Jews, why didn't the Jews have part of Germany? Why not of Palestine? And another thing, these Jews always claim that God gave them this land. And they always say, God gave us this land, and the Zionists always claim this. There's a book written by Arthur Koestler called The 13th Tribe that shows you that most of the majority of these Jews are not the 12 tribes that was promised to God, but these are of another tribe who are white Jews and not real Jews. They are converts. And another thing, if Palestine was to have its own state, would it be given its own army? Would it have weapons to defend itself? Would it have F-14s?
Well, look, we're running out of time. There are many things I need to correct in what you've said. First of all, the Zionists were not religious people. They were atheists. Herzl and all his fellow Zionists didn't care anything about the Testaments, new or old. God is not an estate agent. He didn't give land to anyone in perpetuity. The Jewish people who left Palestine more than 2,000 years ago is not anything to do with the Jews who've gone from Brooklyn in New York or London or Paris and settled on Palestinian land. Please don't confuse this with a religious conflict. This is about land and settlers, just like the French settlers in Algeria or the British settlers in Rhodesia. You have Zionist settlers in Palestine, and the people want their country back, and they want to be allowed to return to their homes. It's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you. If it was, you can join me again next week at the same time for Comment on Press TV with me, George Galloway.